he still had but a confused sense of what she was saying. From the beginning of the discussion he had instinctively avoided the mention of Mattie's name, fearing he hardly knew what. Criticism, complaints, or vague allusions to the imminent probability of her marrying. But the thought of a definite rupture had never come to him, and even now could not lodge itself in his mind.
"I don't know what you mean," he said.
"Mattie Silver's not a hired girl, she's your relation. She's a pauper that's hung on to us all after her father had done his best to ruin us. I've kept her here a whole year. It's somebody else's turn now." As the shrill words shot out, Ethan heard a tap on the door, which he had drawn shut when he turned back from the threshold. "Ethan? Zina?" Mattie's voice sounded gaily from the landing. "Do you know what time it is? Supper's been ready half an hour." Inside the room there was a moment's silence. Then Zina called out from her seat, "I'm not coming down to supper." "Oh, I'm sorry, aren't you well? Shan't I bring you up a bite of something?" Ethan roused himself with an effort and opened the door.
"Go along down, Matt. Zina's just a little tired. I'm coming."
He heard her all right and her quick step on the stairs. Then he shut the door and turned back into the room. His wife's attitude was unchanged, her face inexorable, and he was seized with the despairing sense of his helplessness.
"You ain't going to do it, Zina."
"Do what?"
she emitted between flattened lips.
"Send Mattie away like this."
"I never bargained to take her for life."
He continued with rising vehemence.
"You can't put her out of the house like a thief. A poor girl without friends or money, she's done her best for you and she's got no place to go to. You may forget she's your kin, but everybody else will remember it. If you do a thing like that, what do you suppose folks will say of you?"
Zina waited a moment, as if giving him time to feel the full force of the contrast between his own excitement and her composure. Then she replied in the same smooth voice,
"I know well enough what they say of my having kept her here as long as I have."
Ethan's hand dropped from the doorknob, which he had held clenched since he had drawn the door shut on Mattie. His wife's retort was like a knife cut across the sinews, and he felt suddenly weak and powerless. He had meant to humble himself, to argue that Mattie's keep didn't cost much after all, that he could make out to buy a stove and fix up a place in the attic for the hired girl, but Zina's words revealed the peril of such pleadings.
"You mean to tell her she's got to go at once?"
he faltered out, in terror of letting his wife complete her sentence. As if trying to make him see reason, she replied impartially,
"The girl will be over from Bettsbridge tomorrow, and I presume she's got to have somewhere to sleep."
Ethan looked at her with loathing. She was no longer the listless creature who had lived at his side in a state of sullen self-absorption, but a mysterious, alien presence, an evil energy, secreted from the long years of silent brooding. It was the sense of his helplessness that sharpened his antipathy. There had never been anything in her that one could appeal to, but as long as he could ignore and command, he had remained indifferent. Now she had mastered him, and he abhorred her. Mattie was her relation, not his. There were no means by which he could compel her to keep the girl under her roof. All the long misery of his baffled past, of his youth of failure, hardship, and vain effort, rose up in his soul in bitterness and seemed to take shape before him in the woman who at every turn had barred his way. She had taken everything else from him, and now she meant to take the one thing that made up for all the others. For a moment, such a flame of hate rose in him that it ran down his arm and clenched his fist against her. He took a wild step forward and then stopped.
You're not coming down?"
he said in a bewildered voice.
No, I guess I'll lay down on the bed a little while, she answered mildly.
And he turned and walked out of the room.